Our study today is titled Living Life to the Fullest. And before I start, I'd like you all to bow your heads as I offer a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, Lord, we thank you for a beautiful sunny day today. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the past week. And today is Sunday, it's the beginning of a new week. And it's our Bible study today as we usually have on this day with our Bible students. And Lord, I want to thank you for all the Bible students who have been faithful with their studies in the last 22 weeks. And today we'll cover our second last topic, and next week will be last. And we pray for a special anointing of the Holy Spirit will help us today to understand your word. We ask your forgiveness of our sins, and we thank you for hearing our prayer today. For we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's turn over to the page of your lesson there. The introduction is a little bit interesting, so I just want to read through, and I'd like you to look into your pamphlets as I read the couple of paragraphs there introducing our lesson for today, Living Life to the Fullest. It starts with, how would you like to reach the age of 100 and enjoy every moment of living? In the late 2005, the National Geographic featured an article on longevity and the quality of life. The author, Dan Buettner, gathered a team of researchers to score the world for healthy communities. His plan was to discover pockets of the globe where people were living measurably better than anywhere else. What Buettner discovered was quite staggering. Four areas of the world were highlighted as the blue zones. These are communities where people commonly live past the age of 100. The current blue zones are in Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Nikko Peninsula, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California. The research shows that each group has both longevity and vitality of life. They are fresh, energetic, and happy. They seem to die young at an old age. What is the secret to health and well-being? The research uncovered an emphasis on family, relationships, a plant-based diet, and exercise. Now, towards the end of our lesson, I'll point you to a portion of scripture that actually talks about that. Those four points there: family, relationships, a plant-based diet, and exercise. Importantly, each group also has a sense of faith and participates in a spiritual community. The blue zone communities are peaceful and content, and yet there is a sense of clear purpose. The Costa Ricans call their life purpose Plan de Vida. The Okinawans call it Ikigai, meaning I wake up in the morning. Why I wake up in the morning? Here are people who have created an environment for well-being. Of the four groups, Buettner refers to the Seventh-day Adventists from Loma Linda as Americans' all-star of longevity. With an emphasis on whole person health, this group has a much lower than average incidence of lifestyle-related illness. The secret of vitality for Adventists includes the Sabbath rest, a sense of community, and according to Dan Buettner, a diet inspired by the Bible. Now, if you are skeptical about it, you can see that website there. Now, many of you probably have seen that book, The Blue Zone. It's a bestseller. And still to this day, a lot of people read that book. You might want to find that book as well, too. Now, that research was done by the National Geographic Organization. So what does the Bible say about health? Is there any connection between our physical health and spiritual health? That's a very, very important question. And as we look today in our today's study, we will notice that the Bible talks about it. How can we change our health habits? This guide reveals the biblical keys to a happy, healthy life. We can't promise that you will live long to 100, but you should find the experience of living much more enjoyably. All right, so that's a little bit of introduction into our study today. Let's get straight into our study today and answer our question. I think we've covered it. So the questions are, so what does the Bible say about our health? Is there any connection between our physical and spiritual health? How can we change our health habits? What are the biblical keys to a happy and healthy life? Question one, what does the Bible say about it? How important is our health? Now, there's a beautiful verse there, 3 John, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in one." The missing word is health, just as your soul prospers. Now, notice the Bible is God's word. So when we read that verse, you must remember that it's God speaking now. So one of God's greatest desires is that we will enjoy a good health, not just our spiritual health, but our physical health as well too. See, God wants us to have a happy life. That's what God wants. So this is a beautiful verse that talks about being healthy. When you nurture your body physically, your mind will also be active. All right? So our physical health is connected with our mental health as well and with our spiritual health. Now, if our body is not healthy, it affects everything. Everything suffers. We are not in a good frame of mind, and then disease and all these things come. So it's a very important statement there. It says, when you nurture your body physically, your mind will also be active. A clear mind helps connect to God spiritually. That's true. Our spiritual health life provides a life purpose to be passionate about. This forms a platform for true health and happiness. So remember, our physical health is connected to our mental health and also to our spiritual health. If we are not physically healthy, it affects our mental. We can't think properly, and then it relates to all kinds of problems, and at the same time, it affects our spirituality as well. So being in good health physically is very, very important. It's very, very important, and I'm glad that it is part of our study today. A lot of people focus too much about spiritual health, and they think that physical health is not important. But, that's not true. Because in that verse, God says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in good health." Question two. Why did God give his people laws of the health? You will notice throughout the scripture, God has given a set of health principles, which is scattered right across the scripture. And the question is, why did God give those health laws? Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25, it says, "So you shall serve the Lord with your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take," what? "Sickness away from the midst of you." See, God promises to take all these diseases away from us. And the way he does that is he's prescribed a diet in the scripture. He prescribes some health principles in which he wants his people to follow. And when they do follow, they will not be sick and they will live a long life. So it's a beautiful verse there. He said, when you serve the Lord, he will bless your bread and your water. So, sometimes we pray and we said, "Lord, bless our food." God gives his people health laws to protect them from sickness. Very, very important. Just as what medical science is doing today and the government is doing today, it's putting, it's regulating very strong health policies in which doctors and nurses and all the health professionals may administer so that the society may be in good health. Long before governments came into place, God put something in the scripture. That's why the Bible, the Word of God, is a book with all the answers for everything. I love the Bible. It has answers for every question in life. So, yeah, God gave his people health laws to protect them from sickness and keep them from premature and unnecessary death. Some of these health principles includes diet, remember, diet, hygiene, sterilization, morality, rest, and quarantine. Now, those are the things that today's knowledge and, you know, today's health science and so forth, they promote and they teach and so forth. But those things were registered in the Bible years ago. It's already there. God has given it long before there was human civilization and breakthrough knowledge and so forth. So the Bible is a beautiful book with those principles. And let's see what the Bible says concerning some of those things. How does Jesus want us to live? All right. John chapter 10 and verse 10. A beautiful verse. I come that they may have life and they may have it more what? Abundantly. All right. Abundantly. Now, the first part of that verse reads like, the thief cometh but to steal, destroy, and kill. Making a reference to Satan. Okay? Making a reference to Satan. John 10:10. Remember that verse? It's a beautiful verse. And study it later. He said, the thief cometh but to steal, destroy, and kill. Making a reference to Satan. Satan does that. He comes to steal our life. All right? He steals your time. And the devil comes to steal your diet. He gives you a different diet. And he gives you things that are completely in contrast to what God gives. So he comes to take our life. The thief cometh but to steal, destroy, and kill. That's what the devil does. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You think about it. That's very, very sweet. That's what the gospel is about. The Bible, gospel is means good news. The whole Bible is about good news. About so many good news that God puts in there. And one of them is the good news about our health. And this verse is so beautiful. So you can see the contrast between God and Satan. All right. Satan works in contrast to God. And God comes with everything that is beautiful for our life. So you remember, God loves you. He wants the best for you. So health is one of it. Physical health is one of it. But sad to say today that the devil has destroyed a lot of people's physical health. Now we will discover as we get into that. All right. Health is not just the absence of pain and disease. It is the presence of vitality and abundant life. All right. Abundant life. It's everything. It's your emotional health. It's your physical health. It is your social health. It's your mental health. So that you can be happy and stress-free and live a life of peace. An abundant life includes the personal presence of Jesus. Okay, remember that. In fact, a Christian health is really no health at all. Jesus provides us with peace, assurance, and hope. Not just healing and restoration, much more. A life of health and happiness beyond our imagination. So that's what Jesus came to do. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Question 4. What does the Bible call our body? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, or do you not know your body is the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Twice in the book of Corinthians, it talks about our body as the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in it. The first part is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then towards his writing again, he covers it in chapter 6. And Paul says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God with your body. So how body, remember, God made us in the image of himself. Genesis chapter 1. All right, he created Adam and Eve in his own image. So we reflect God. We reflect God. So we should be glorifying God. Our body should be glorifying God. But today the devil wants us to glorify him. So he's leading us in all parts of destruction. And instead of, and people think they are cool, you know, with so many things that they do. But they don't know that the devil is coming in to destroy them and to glorify him. But our body has been made to glorify God because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God dwells in us. If the mind is dilute, or if the mind is dulled through sickness, then God's communication is made more difficult and spiritual growth is slanted. All right? Very, very true. If you are not mentally well and if your body is sick, you know, that's less likely that that communication between you and God will flow because you are sick, you don't want to talk to anyone, you just want to rest, and let alone you can't even talk to God, or God might want to talk to you. Having vitality and good health helps you to understand the Bible and establish a close relationship with God. And that's very true. Good health. And then a good example, remember in the Garden of Eden, you remember God told Adam and Eve to eat from the plants and the fruits of the Garden of Eden. And then he said not to eat from a certain tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when they ate from that bad tree, something happened. It affected their physicalness, and then it affected their spirituality as well too. The fruit really impacted them, the fruit that God said no. And so instead, when God came in the coolness of the day, as you read Genesis chapter 3, you would notice that God says, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And instead of Adam going to towards God, as he always do, when God comes and visit him, he would be very happy, and he goes out as a kid, goes out to meet his parents. This time he ran away and he hid himself. And he heard God was coming, so he didn't want to meet him because something strange happened to him. Because he hate that tree that was fruit from that tree that God said, told him not to. So it affected him physically, and because he was physically not in his right mind, it also affected his spirituality. So he can't even talk to God. He went away hiding from God. So you see, that's a very good example of our physical health. When we eat and drink and do follow what the scripture says, it connects us back to God. But if we don't do that and we follow in the path of Adam and Eve, it leads away from us, from God. So you can see some good lessons in that story there. Question 5. What are some of the practical ways you can enhance your health? Okay, practically. 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. The missing word is glory of God. So whatever we do, whether we drink or eat, it's all for the glory of God. All right? For the glory of God. Breathe fresh air. Okay, fresh air is very, very important, and today's medical science tells that, affirms that. You know, I'm glad that, you know, like a couple of days ago, there was a thunderstorm, and it affected the water in Victoria, and, you know, they shut it down, and it affected all of us. We didn't want to drink dirty water. But today, they're charging water. But just imagine if they charge fresh air, you know? We'd be like on life support machines in the hospital, you know, where they put oxygen into you. You got to pay for oxygen to be alive. But I'm just glad that God is so brilliant. He can look into the future and he can see people are going to charge those things that God has given to us freely. Like he's given to us water as free gift and crops as free gift and so forth. But today we commercialize them. But I'm glad that God didn't put the hair in the category where they can commercialize hair, because we can receive hair freely. But today, if they do, only certain people will be able to pay for the hair, and then the rest wouldn't, and there'll be a lot of death. But anyway, we praise God. Fresh hair is something that is very important for our health. And that's why it's good to live out near the forest where there's a lot of plants, so you continue to breathe fresh air. Our lungs are cleaned, the blood is purified, and our brain receives a special boost of energy. Fresh air also soothes the nerves and keeps our mood positive and optimistic. All right? Remember that. We spend so much time stuck in the dust and the stale air of our houses, schools, and offices. It is vital that we ventilate our homes and get out into the fresh air. Venture out for a morning walk. Take a stroll down by the seaside or climb a mountain and take a deep breath. You will just feel good. So remember that as a matter of principle, fresh air is very, very important. And today we can't go out much because of the lockdown. But if you can, try to make it a rule today, especially under lockdown. If the more you sit inside the house, it's going to affect you. But then the restrictions are in place, so I don't know how you'll manage that. But many of you are living in areas where you can walk around the block, try to do some exercise and get some fresh air. Rest. Number two, rest. Rest is very important. It says, life today is hectic. The average day is full of multitasking, commitments, and deadlines. To fit everything, we often lose out on rest, relaxation, and sleep. Very, very true. In today's modern world, especially in a busy place, a metropolitan area like Victoria, Melbourne, life is so fast and we are so busy, and people hardly get rest. Even myself too. I come from the Pacific. Before I came to Australia, like Pacific, we see the sun never sets in the Pacific. You know, it's paradise. We just, you know, live there. But then I felt a big difference coming to Australia. Life is so fast, and then I seem to feel that I don't have enough rest, and then that's also stress as well too. But we can help it. We live in a fast world. The world is changing. But as a principle, remember to get enough rest. Jesus gave us the Sabbath rest. Remember that we covered Sabbath. So you see, the Bible talks about rest. Doctors and medical science say rest is very, very important, and you must rest it. For instance, even your computer as well too, you know. You don't let your computer be on 24 hours and continue on for a week. We rest it. The cars are rested as well too, because if we don't rest them, they will definitely break down. So God knows that our body will need rest. So he's put Sabbath rest for us. Sabbath is a time for us to rest. Rest and rejuvenate our energy, and then we can start a new day afresh. Jesus gave us the Sabbath rest. This is time for our whole person to rest and connect with God, family and friends. So remember, Sabbath, apart from Sabbath as being the day of worship, or you come to connect with God, remember, in principle, it's a day of rest. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, said God ended all his work that he had made, and he rested on the seventh day. So, and then he said in Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days allow labor, all right? You labor during 6 days. 6 days allow labor and do all thy works. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, all right? It's a time where we rest. And it's for our own good. It's all for our own good, you know? It's for our own good. And then the third thing is shocking sunlight. Sunlight is good. Up to 15 minutes of sunlight a day boosts the immune system, especially now we're in spring and some very nice sunshine is coming up. Get out of the door. And the early morning sun is good. Catch it. Up to 15 minutes of sunlight a day boosts the immune system and helps reduce the risk of cancer. Sunlight aids mental concentration, gives more energy, and can give even lower blood pressure, even lower the blood pressure. Sunlight also nurtures our emotions and our mind. So that's very, very important in regard to health. And then The next one, the fourth one is enjoy life. All right? Enjoy life. Very, very important. Enjoy life. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good, well, like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. All right? Enjoy life. We're all going to die. Everything in this world, we're going to leave them behind. So enjoy life with whatever little you have or whatever more you have. Enjoy life. But enjoy it, the Bible says, do it for the glory of God. Not for too much on self, but more to the glory of God. Our mental, it says our mental attitude to life has a major impact on our overall health. There are many other ways for you to feel the experience of enjoying life. Try your hand at one of the huts. Go down to the beach. Fly a kite. Go shopping with friends. Read a good book. Just discover what you are passionate about and do it. That's true. Do something that you enjoy doing. I play golf. So I've been playing golf for the last like 20 years of my life. I still play to this day. On the weekend, I enjoy playing. I enjoy reading books, so I do a bit of reading books. I enjoy walking around the park. That's what I do. So do something passionate so that it relieves your mind and it gives you peace. So that's what the Bible tells us to do. Overall, we are meant to enjoy life, but sin came and destroyed us. So enjoy life. Number five, drink water. Very, very important, drink water. The benefits of drinking plenty of water includes less headaches, enhanced memory, replenished skin, all right, improved immune system, reduction in the risk of some cancers, and weight control. Experts suggest that we drink at least 8 to 10 glasses of water per day. So I think you all do that, and let's continue. But in this world where you have so many drinks that replaces water, like soft drinks and soda drinks, alcohol, and so forth, just be careful. All right. The benefits of drinking plenty of water includes, I think we have I've read that already. Number six, nature relationships. Okay, nature relationship. Relationship is very important. I'll show you a verse in the Bible that talks about that. At the heart of human need is to love and be loved. Okay, very, very important. We're social beings. So God created man in his own image. God said, let us create man in our image. And then he created Eve as a friend to Adam. And we are meant to live with each other. But today, people have replaced relationship with material things. Like, for instance, like computers. People spend so much time on computers, on television, on things that are, like I would say that, you know, like material things like articles and so forth, images, things that cannot talk to you. And those things have created so much, it separated mankind from each other. But we are meant to live together as a community. So that's very, very important. And of course, be active. Being active provides a variety of important benefits to our health. Exercise reduces worry and stress, builds muscles, reduces fats, helps us feel good, and reduces the risk of heart disease. So things like walking is very, very important. Walk around the block. I walk around the block like almost every day in Blackburn where I live. And then when I go and play golf, it's like I'm walking a number of kilometers, like 10 kilometers, just walking around. And it's really good. So do some walking. And then another one is eating well. Exercise is very important, but also diet is very, very important. Now, the Bible talks about the original diet. The original diet where God gave is found in the book of Genesis, Very, very important. Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3. Read those three chapters. The original diet that God gave to men, human beings, revolve around plant-based food. Okay? Plant-based food, which today's medical science has proven that plant-based food is it's meant for the human body. And we tend to eat less of that, and we're eating more of processed food. And processed food is killing a lot of people. That's where cancer and all the related diseases come. But if you can do a shift from your diet, try to go back to plant-based food. And especially under this lockdown, people are getting very stressed, and it's going to be very unhealthy. Try to eat a lot of fruits and a lot of vegetables and so forth, because it helps your body, really help your body. All right. In the Bible, God is specific in terms of which food are unfit for human beings. Meat such as pigs, prawns, rats, rabbits should all be avoided as food. Okay? Leviticus chapter 11, read that chapter. All right, Leviticus chapter 11, read that. God gives you the list of animals that are very unclean, and human beings should not eat them, but today people are eating those. One of them is bat. Bat is listed there, where we believe that it brought coronavirus. And God wrote in the book of Leviticus chapter 11, I'll show you the verse, and it says, verse 19, and it says, and the stock and the heron after a kind, and the lapwing and the bat. See, God said not to hit bat, and now look what the bat has done to the world. Now it's shut the whole world down. There's a list of number of animals there. God says don't touch it, but people are not listening. They're still getting into it, and pig is one of them. It's listed here, swine food, Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, and the swine and the pig, though it divide the hoop and be cloven-footed, yet it is, should not the gut, it is unclean to you. All right, unclean. But people love pork these days. But a good example is the bat. You see what the bat has done to us today? So there's so much about those animals which I don't want to get into it because of our time restriction today, but you can do some of your own studies and Google down and see why those foods are bad, and you will see that medical science writes a lot about those animals, which are very bad for our health. So God is very, very specific about our food. Eating what stands on one leg, mushroom and spinach, is better than what stands on two legs. Chicken, which is better than what stands on four legs, cows and pigs. Someone wrote that in the book Food Rules, Michael Pollan. Very interesting statement there. So plant-based diet is the best diet. And then it says respect the body. All right. Our body, remember, life is a gift that God has given you. You only live once. There'll be another second you that will live again. So respect yourself, respect the body that God gave you as a gift, and look after it. That's what I do. I look after my own body, knowing that it's a gift from God. And I look after it. I want to live long. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, if anyone defile the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So remember, you're a temple of God. God lives in you. So God has specified the kind of food that the temple wants, and the food that is bad for the temple. So remember that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and we can't defile it. The word defilement, read the entire book of Leviticus. It talks about making yourself dirty. Defilement is sort of like a century word. It's a theological word, talks about the human dignity that has been debased, you know, that God made human in the image of himself. But when defilement comes, it really debases what God has created. And the book of Leviticus is a very beautiful book about health in terms of physical health, and even on morality as well, social health and mental health. So Remember that we are the body of God, temple of God, and God lives in us. So you be careful with what you eat and how you look after the temple of God. Now, suppose you know, as an analogy there, suppose you know you would not only, suppose you knew you would ever, only ever have one car in life. How would you look after it? We would ensure it received good fuel, good oil, and good maintenance. Now, those of you who have cars, you know that rule. We look after our cars because it's expensive, but at the same time, some of the cars are like cars that we dream about and we like to own, and then you notice that those cars are looked after very, very well. Now, cars are nothing because if cars get bumped or get crashed, you can go back to the workshop, fix it again, or you can buy a new one. But think about our human body. If you crash your own body like a car, you know, you can't go to the shops to get for spare parts or ask for a mechanic to make something like you and replace you. It's impossible. It can't be done. So why can't we look after our bodies just the way we look after our cars? But cars are like not important. We can still replace them. But you can't replace your body. So you see, that's why some of the people who are crippled, they are wheelchair for life. Some people who are blind, they are blind for life. Some people who are deaf, it affects their hearing ability. You see, because there is no hardware or there is no shop somewhere where you can go in and you can apply for parts to replace your body. You can't do that. The human body was made by God and God wants us to look after it. So just as well as you can look after your own car, why can't you look after your body? Now, I drive a Nissan Patrol. I like 4x4s. Nissan Patrols drive, they live on diesel, and there's some specifications, and I make sure those things are put into the car, applied to the car, because I know that if I don't do it, the car will break down. And just the same, God has given us some health principles to look after our body, like in terms of heating. You know, we don't put petrol into a diesel car, or we don't put diesel into a petrol car. It doesn't work. Likewise, God has, you know, specified the kind of food that we should put into our mouth. But instead of putting those kind of food into our mouth, it's just like putting petrol into a diesel car, and then soon the car doesn't work. And you see a lot of people who are sick today. They find themselves stressed in home, locked up in homes, in the hospitals. It's because they're putting the wrong kind of food into their mouth. It's affecting their system, and then they wear down. So you see, God knew that our body will need certain things to operate as an organism. And God has put those specific food for us to take, and then some specific other instructions to look after our body, like exercise and so forth. And if we can follow those, we'd live longer. And that's why this National Geographic Channel made that research into those throughout the world, and he found those four communities where they were living longer than the average human being, but not just living longer, they were active. They were still walking around and enjoying life like a teenager. And it's because they found out that they were following the Bible, especially the community in Loma Linda. So you see, what I'm trying to say is that the Bible, the Word of God, is a blessing to us, and let's follow it. Let's follow it. respect the body, all right? Respect the body. Alcohol. Alcohol is something that destroys us. Proverbs 20 and verse 1, there's a lot of verses on alcohol, but we just quoted one. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whosoever is led astray by it is not wise. That's true. Excuse me. You can see the effect of wine and alcohol in these days. I don't need to tell you. You can see your friends, your maybe family members, your friends, your mates. You can see it in the TV. You can read it. Alcohol has destroyed a lot of people. Look at what the Bible says. Alcohol is not good for you. Whoever goes into the path of alcohol is not wise. So refrain from alcohol. Alcohol is bad. In the Bible, the word wine can mean either fermented wine or the pure grape juice from the grapes. God is so definite in his opposition to fermented wine that he says we shouldn't even look at it. Okay, Proverbs 23, verse 29 to 32. Now, what about the wine that Jesus turned into, the water into wine? The wine that Jesus created at the marriage feast at Cana was the good wine. The same sort of wine described by Prophet Isaiah as new wine. that is found in the cluster, Isaiah 65:8. In other words, fresh grape juice. It is hardly likely that Jesus would create barrel loads of alcohol so that people could get drunk. All right, get drunk. Because remember, Jesus is the creator. He's the creator God. And why would he create, like in that story, why would he change the water into a fermented wine to destroy the people, knowing very well that wine destroys? It doesn't work. The logic doesn't make sense with a God who is holy and sinless and a God who is harmless. He doesn't destroy. He's a human-saving God. All right, let's move on. Respect the body, alcohol. The other one is that say no to alcohol, number one. Number two is drugs and nicotine. Okay, drugs and nicotine. Now, before I get into that, there's a verse that comes into my mind. Let me check it out. And all right. Now let me see this verse here. Oh. Now, maybe I'll think about it later and probably they've just got lost in my mind. Let's move on. Drugs and nicotine. Drugs and cigarettes are major curses to the health of people. All right? Within our community. The poisons affect the body and cause a range of threatening diseases. God created you to be happy and healthy. The last thing he wants you for you to do is be smoking and taking drugs. That's true. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in good health. So where do you think that drugs and alcohol and smoking is coming from? Remember Satan? Jesus said that Satan is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. And then John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but to steal, destroy, and kill. It is the work of Satan to kill people. But Satan is spirit, so what he does is he leads people into paths that will kill them, like drugs, alcohol, all right? Drugs and alcohol and nicotine and so forth. So that's what the devil is doing. God doesn't destroy. God wants people to live long. There are many subtle forms of drugs today that are also causing illness. Try drinking some herbal teas as a replacement to tea and coffee, all right, herbal tea, or fresh juices as a replacement for high energy drinks. Your body will be better for a change, all right? Fresh juice and drink some herbal tea. It help you. Instead of strong drinks. And very important, trusting God. Very, very important, trusting. There's a lot of verses about trusting God. Trusting in God takes away the worry and the stress of life. Okay? We know that many diseases originate in the mind. In particular, guilt and fear can affect the whole body. Trusting in God brings inner peace and hope for the future. Now, maybe Proverbs chapter 3 is a good verse to go along with that. You can turn into that verse as well. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. in all the ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct the path. All right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't follow your thoughts. The human mind will deceive you. Because of sin, the human mind will lead you astray. So before you make a decision, something will come up in your mind, but ask yourself, let me go back to the Bible and see what God says. Always going back to the word of God puts you on the path of life. Like Proverbs 14:12, he said, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is the way of death. So there's so many things in this life will make sense. It will make sense. But those paths leads to death. So you're only safe with the word of God. Always trust the Lord. Read the Bible and see what the Bible says concerning whichever decision you want to make. And then he says in verse 7, trust in all the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct the path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then the verse 8 is the key one. It shall be health. Notice the word, health. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to the bones. So the word of God is your health. What a beautiful verse there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. Because in verse 8 says it will be health. So remember the word of God. When you trust the Lord, it's your health. It helps you to live longer and enjoy life. So trusting God takes away the worry and the stress of life. We know that many diseases originate in the mind. In particular, guilt and fear can affect the whole body. Trusting in God brings the inner peace and hope for the future. Yep. Friends, let's trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Some may have a chronic disease or illness and see no relief in sight. If that is you, then Jesus gives you the promise, my grace is sufficient for thee. All right? God does not always remove sickness. We live in a world damaged by sin. But if you trust in Jesus, he will sustain you through your challenges. The thing about the word of God is it gives you peace of mind, knowing that you sleep with peace because you know that God will do something in your life. God hears your prayer. Something good is forthcoming because God is a God who redeems and he saves. So notice that verse, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And it says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now let me give you that verse. I think it's a verse in the book of Corinthians. And it's a beautiful verse. Here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, when you're weak, when you're sick, when you're troubled, and you just know that you have no hope, there's nothing that is going to redeem you. That's when God comes in. God says that's the perfect time that you will see the salvation of God. So that's a beautiful verse there. You can record that. 10 health principles. Okay, remember those 10 health principles that we have covered. Breathe fresh air, rest, sunlight, enjoy life, drink water, have relationship with your neighbor, community, be active, eat well, respect the body, and trust in God. Those are things that are found in the book, and if we follow them, you will live a good life, enjoyable life, stress-free life, you'll enjoy life. Question 6, what is the secret to changing our lifestyle? All right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. All right? If you want to change your lifestyle, for instance, some of you might be convicted. You might be sort of like drinking a lot of soft drinks, or you might be into drugs or into smoke, or you spend a lot of time indoor, you don't go out walking. So you're asking the question, how can I make a change? You can make it right now. Make it right now and depending on Christ. And the verse says there, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. In other words, when you do a reform and you start going on the path of reform, you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus comes in at the back of you and he helps you. It's like a physio who is working on someone who's got a problem with his leg and can't walk. So the physio starts helping, but the patient must have the patient must also make a decision to step forward also in faith. And then the physio will help and so forth. And eventually you will notice that the patient will come out walking and feeling a lot better. So if you make a change, remember Jesus is like your physio. He'll come back, he'll stay at your back, and he'll push you forward. And you will see a lot of change in your life. Take your worry, your guilt, fear, addiction, and bad habits to Jesus today. A happy and healthy life is a journey. Why not take the first step today? All right? Why not take the first step today? Now, there are 3 points to remember in this, but before I come to the 3 points, I just want you to, I said that I will sum up with a verse in the Bible, and the verse that I want to sum up is 2. First of all, remember, our health has 4 aspects. You have mental health, physical health, social health, and spiritual health. If you are fit mentally, socially, spiritually, and physically, then you have a good health. Now, you find that in the book of Genesis, when God created the world, he put those principles in. I like the book of Genesis. It's a beautiful book. I have a friend many years ago. He just loves the book of Genesis. Every time he talks about the book of Genesis, when his first son was born, he named him Genesis. Would you believe that? I asked him, because I met him, I said, why did you name your son Genesis? And he said, oh, I love the book of Genesis because everything that world needs, everything about God, you can find it in the book of Genesis. And it keeps your mind focused on God. And, you know, I smiled and I said, it's true. Because the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. All right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But before you come to creation, the verse itself says, in the beginning, God. So right in the beginning, it begins with God. So God is the beginning of everything. And if you study the book of Genesis, it always talks you about the beginning and then it points you back to God. So that's what my friend was so passionate about, the book of Genesis. But notice this, mental health. Mental, social, physical, and spiritual. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave certain things to him. For instance, when he created him, God said, first of all, when God created him, he gave him a diet. All right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. God said, I've given you the seed-bearing plants and plants from the Garden of Eden as food for you. So God gave the plant-based diet. Originally, our food should be plant-based. Now, I'm talking about physical. Under physical, you have food, which is plant-based. And you notice that Genesis 1, 29 and Genesis 2, verse 16. That's food. Apart from that, he gave exercise to Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. He told them to reproduce and replenish and subdue the earth. Have control over the earth. And then Genesis chapter, that's about exercise. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It's all about exercise and then rest. You talk about rest, Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. It's about the Sabbath rest. So there's 3 things that are the physical aspect of our body. It's food, water, exercise, and rest. So food, Genesis 1, 29. Water, Genesis 1, 10. Exercise, Genesis 2, 18. Rest, Genesis 2, 1 to 3. So those things come under physical side of health. So those were the things that God gave to Adam. Now, talk about mental health. From mental health, God, about knowledge and so forth. Genesis 1, 20 talks about God gave the Garden of Eden, and then he told Adam, and especially Adam, he said, you go and name all the animals and study the plants and name the plants and so forth. So the wildlife became like a knowledge, like a university, in which Adam studied the knowledge of God. So that was for his mental, to study God's creation. Today it's a lot different because we live in the city and all everything in the city is about human creation. The buildings, the cars, everything is about man. So man is focused on man. But if you go out into the wild, you will notice that everything in the wild is all about God. So God told Adam to study the wild. And then Sosol, for instance, Sosol, God made Eve as a friend to Adam, Genesis 2:18. Help meet. He said, it's not good that a man should be alone. Let me make him a friend that will work along with Adam. So he created women. So that's the social aspect. We are meant to live with our wives and children in the community. We are social beings. That's why a lot of people go into mental stress because they're living alone. And loneliness is killing a lot of people. But God didn't intend it that way. God wants us to live together. So if you're living in the neighborhood, get to know your neighbor and your friends and so forth. And finally, spiritually, where God created Sabbath as a time to connect with God. Apart from being rest, it is also for our spiritual health. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. So you notice those mental, physical, social, and spiritual aspect of health was given to Adam and Eve. And then a good verse that I want to sum is Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Very beautiful verse. It's about Jesus Christ, and Jesus is our example. And notice Luke wrote that verse, and it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God, and in favor with man. So when Jesus was growing, he attained a full health status where God intended it to be. So there are four components to that verse. First part said Jesus increased in wisdom, which is in regard to knowledge. So Jesus was growing. Today we can say about education and so forth. He had so much knowledge. And you notice when the rabbis challenged him, he would say that, have you never read? Have you ever read in the book? Have you ever read there? Have you ever read there? So it shows that Jesus was a man who reads. So his mental capacity was really good. So he increased in wisdom. And secondly, he said in stature, physically he was fit. All right, physically he was fit. And being a Hebrew man, you notice that Jesus would obviously follow the Bible. He always followed the Bible, so he had a kosher diet. He lived on the plant-based diet, which I believe most Hebrew people did. And at the same time, Jesus walked around. You know, he was a man who walked all over the land of Israel, teaching the word of God. Before that, he was a carpenter. So physically, he was fit. So Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, physical fitness. And then he says, in favor with God. His relationship with God was intact. All right? He was intact. He was connected to God. Like Mark chapter 1, verse 35, for an example, he said, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there he prayed. So Jesus would wake up really early in the morning and he would spend time with God. He was connected with God. So spiritually, he was fit. And then, of course, he said, the last part says, in favor with man. In other words, his relationship with the people was good. So you notice that mental, physical, spiritual, and social aspect of the human health was actually practiced by Jesus himself. So Jesus himself is an example for us. So I want to challenge you to follow Jesus and follow what the Bible tells us, and then you'll live a good life, an happy life. As we finish, look at the screen here. God wants us to be happy and healthy. God's original health plan is still the best. And through Christ, God has the power to break any bad habit. All right? So remember that. So relation questions. How do you maintain the balance between adopting a healthy lifestyle and not becoming a fanatical or judgmental Christian? That's true. That's sometimes very challenging. What have you found to be the key to overcoming less than ideal health habits? Do you accept that living a healthy life is an important part of a daily relationship with Jesus Christ? And would you like to decide today and grow step by step towards a healthy body, mind, and spirit? Yes or no? Well, my answer is yes. If it is your answer is yes, you want to accept the word of God and the study as we covered, as from God, let me pray with you. May you raise your hands and let me pray with you, if it is your decision. Gracious Father, we thank you for revealing us the wonderful word of life regarding our health. And Jesus said, the thief cometh but to steal, destroy, and kill. That's what Satan does. He comes to destroy us with drugs, with bad eating habits, and with all kinds of human philosophies. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And one of them, he says, Beloved, I wish above all that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. And today we have covered the word of God, and we praise you. We thank you for the revelation, and we make our decisions that we want to accept those truths and practice them in our life. Our Bible students are making that decision now, and they themselves know the areas that they probably have fallen short to, and they want to make an improvement. And Lord, I pray, as your promise, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, whom thou, Jesus, that strengthens me. I pray that the Holy Spirit and the power of God will rest on them and will strengthen them to adopt those health principles. And if there's an area they fall short of it, you will help them to overcome it. And forgive us from all our shortcomings, and we thank you for blessing us with this special divine truth regarding our health. And we ask these blessings and this prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And everybody say, Amen. All right, God bless you, and wish you all the best. Next week will be our last study, and we'll go into a time of Q&A session.